case the Holy Spirit gets on a roll and I lose track of it. And let's again just pray as we go forward here tonight. And Father, we thank you again for your love for us. And Father, all that you've done for us. And I pray, Father, as we go forward, Lord Jesus, in our fellowship and communion with you tonight, that you'd give us ears to hear, help us to just walk in and live in the fresh fruit of what we've heard already, and appropriate it, God, in the hours and the days to come. And Lord Jesus, for the ears to hear what you're going to speak through me, I trust, Father, in faith, that you'll bring an impartation of life through your Spirit under the prophetic utterance of your Spirit. The expectation that's here, we may be few in numbers by natural sight, but very deep and rich in terms of the expectation and the desire to drink from the living waters of refreshing from your throne. And you are the fountain. And so we come thirsty, and we do ask, Father, I yield myself to you, and corporately we yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit, to just bring forth what you want to teach us, John 14, 21, 26. That's an aspect of your ministry and nature, to teach us all things that are of God, bring to remembrance the things that you've invested in us, so that we can really feast on what you have for us in this essence of time. We look to you in expectation. Psalm 62:5, our expectation is of you, Lord. And we yield ourselves to you. And in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Shalom. Praise you, Lord. Shalom. What was that? Peace be upon you. Thank you. Okay, so as I go forward tonight, I'm going to, I believe, just operate a little bit different than I normally would function in the Spirit and the gifts God's given me. But I want to put this out there just to add, as I'm purposing to kind of slow down and speak. And just really, I've been meditating on and considering tonight's message and what to bring forth. And I've had a fresh theme come in today for the study I taught this afternoon. I don't even think I'm going there. As I sought God, sought the Holy Spirit in communion, I just felt, sense the presence of the Spirit, bring to remembrance some of the things I've taught and the theme that I've been on my portion on the monthly Wednesday nights and the schedule that I've been had the opportunity to share here. And so I'm just going to share from my heart some different things that have really been formed, I believe, and I'm trusting by the Holy Spirit as conviction and the frame of reference that's in my soul, both for my own practice, but also for teaching. And as I share, I want to put out a cautionary consideration on your part, just to really, as I share, if you've heard these things before, please take them as fresh from the throne for current consideration and what the Holy Spirit wants to impart. I also would caution against, if you will, being, not sure quite how to put this, but being familiar at all with what we know, and so that we can receive the fullness of revelations. For instance, Dennis shared in his correlation in Philippians on that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How often do we hear that in the Christian vocabulary? But yet, how often is it taught with the fullness of the balance and the context, so the way that he presented it tonight? Another one, Philippians 4, along that same line, we very often hear said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, Philippians 4:19. But you gotta look at the context that's there and how that's being presented. Because it's not just a general broad-based appropriation. There are some good conditions that are kind of associated and tied to that. And one of them is the if you read the context of the full passage, that promise was given to those that were supporting the work of God. And when you understand that and you're walking in obedience to the full context, and it just increases the strength of the faith that you have. And so I've been teaching on the Wednesday night portions predominantly for the last 2 years now on the doctrine of healing. And just for review, in case there's some here tonight that are not familiar with it, the story onto it, in introduction, I've been challenged through the years, but a couple of years ago, the Holy Spirit just brought fresh conviction that he wanted me to seek him on this doctrine and to thoroughly seek God onto it. And the way that it came forth is part of the motivation was from the experience I was having my own personal walk with my loss of eyesight and some other areas in personal health and the needs of others. But the way that the Holy Spirit worked is I got four consecutive messages within a three-day period from different men of God that I respect, honor, and look to through the years as covering. And they were identical messages. And they all focused around the synoptic presentation of ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And again, I'll just touch a lot of this on the tip of the icebergs. And I began to respond to Acts 4:26. Our overseeing pastor brought a message with the emphasis on how the early church there in Acts 4:26 prayed, and they asked God to give them boldness to preach the gospel, and they asked also that God would accompany their preaching with the manifestation of power and miracles and healings in the name of Jesus to confirm the ministry that God had called them to. And so there's a whole host of things that go into it. And so as I share, I just want you to know that you certainly can't put everything that's in my heart on this in just a few messages. This is a very in-depth doctrine of consideration, and there's a lot that goes into it. And a lot to be learned, a lot that we know, and a lot more to be learned. But we do know this. It is part of the nature of God and the desire of God to heal. One of the signs that was given in prophecy in Malachi 4 to the Jewish nation was that when the Messiah would appear, Malachi 4:2 says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And we know that in reading the Gospels and going into the book of Acts and beyond, that there was a very heavy emphasis on the recordings of the demonstration of the power of God in healing. In fact, the word power comes from the word dunamos. Get the English word dynamite from it. And dunamos is used and translated in several different ways, but one of the predominant ways in which it's used in the Greek is in the translation into power and the word virtue. And right away I think of the woman that had the issue of blood. And she had a bleeding issue, and from what we know, and she had been plagued with it for many, many years. She had spent all that she had on it. All of her resources was on physicians and different ones that would try to help her, with no success. And when she heard of the ministry, we can extrapolate from the word that when she heard of Jesus and what he was doing, she went and sought him out and pushed through the crowds and reached out, and she touched the crescendos on the what Jesus was wearing. I think it can correctly be ascertained that the word talks about how she reached out and touched him, and he sensed her touch. But the word says she touched, many scholars believe that she touched, I think they're called the crescendos on the prayer shawl. And if you're familiar with the prayer shawl, it was an item that the Jews wore on their shoulders, and it had these little, on the corners, crescendos, I think they call them. And it's believed that she touched one of them. And again, I won't go into the details of it, but Jesus stopped in the midst of the press of the crowd and asked his disciples, who was it that touched him? Because he, and then he goes on to say, he felt virtue go out from him. And that word virtue is translated from the word dunamos. And it speaks of the power of God to heal. Another way that word virtue is defined, and it's defined as not only the power to heal. Virtue, love, is the power to heal, the essence of God, and God is his nature. And it also is defined, depending on its use, is excellency of soul. And so the virtue, love, went out and touched her and healed her, and she received it by faith. And Jesus commended her in the passage that her faith is what healed her. And that her faith accessed the power, and she received the power from Jesus to be healed. Now, I'm going to title tonight's portion, if you want to give it a title, Sozo Shalom. Sozo Shalom. And I'm sure in the future I'll probably preach a more lively and active message on those two words. But those are two words that are Hebrew and Greek words that really bring out the essence of the foundation of the consideration of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ to heal us. And we can go back to as far back on this subject to Exodus 16:15, where God declares, I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee of all your diseases, speaking to the nation coming out of Egypt. And kind of set the stage and the premise for the doctrine of healing and the study of it. Psalm 103, we've looked at there, and again, the word through the psalmist writes that God is the God who heals us of all of our diseases. And Pastor Eric recently brought out on Grace Hour in a series. I didn't catch all of it, but Pastor Moore and Pastor Eric did a series on healing. And he went into that passage in particular, and he confirmed something that I learned from my studies. And it's in Psalm 103, where it says, the Lord healeth, in the King James, the Lord healeth us of all our diseases. The idea there is, again, God is our healer. But in the Hebrew, it's brought out very clearly that it can be properly translated as God is healing us. And God is healed. Now, he heals us. healeth us in the King James, but he is healing us. And if you look at the construction of the grammatical Hebrew, the idea is that God is in the process of healing us. And so it's a commentary on your will of what the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing as we walk with him. And I want to say this. One of the things that I picked up on, and I've shared it from the pulpit before, but medical science will tell you that every 7 years, we are a complete new creation. Every 7 years, our DNA is programmed so that every 7 years, every cell in our body is replaced. It's part of the process of our growing and what's taking place. If you think on that just for a moment, and then think about something that you might be dealing with, your own personal body, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Christ within us. If you've got an area that you're looking to God for healing, maybe a chronic condition, you could be asking and believing God by faith and be right on with God for a miraculous healing, and he may not choose to do it in a miraculous form just like that. He may be doing it over time and answering our prayers. And he may be, there's a lot of different ways that God works in on this doctrine and subject. And he may do it totally supernaturally in a manifestation of his prayer, of his God showing up. I'll use that term, pardon the expression. You know, God showing up and just touching us, or us reaching out to him and studying the doctrines that produce faith within us. Hebrews 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing how by the word of God. We study the doctrines onto it, study the full and become aware of what God's commentary is on it from the word. And what does that do? It produces trust or and faith in him and what he has to say. And we begin to take him at his word, and it gets established in our hearts. And sometimes God moves in miraculous instant ways. And we've seen and have experienced the fruit of that, the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in this area. And we've also seen situations where God has chosen, and this kind of brings in the balance, and you need to understand, I understand the balance on this. Predominantly, my position and conviction is that if we're dealing with something, that we do not and should be cautioned and be careful not to presume that it is the will of God for us. We need, like everything, we need to go to God and find out what is God willing. And far too often, believers will begin to experience a physical problem, and they'll assume right away, well, this is from God. No, God wants us to test and prove what is the good and perfect will of God. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Test and prove that to prove what is the good and perfect will of God. And don't take the presumptuous position of passivity and think that, well, I've got this and I prayed and this is from the hand of God, so I just got to suffer through it. No, unless you hear from God, this is another thing that I've learned. Unless you've heard from God, you've prayed and you've heard from God, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you, you ask and keep on asking, seeking him. You go to the word and you learn what the word of God says and begin to rehearse the word of God. And then begin to speak to it, if you will. And this is, you know, when I start on this realm, you may consider and from what you've been taught, where are you going with this? But there are aspects of our experience where they become mountains or Goliaths, and we need to speak to them and take authority over them. Where you got to be careful is you need to hear from God and be led by the Spirit. For instance, Veronica Stevenson, gave a testimony in our study this afternoon. She was dealing with a chronic ailment of pain in her stomach area. Had been to the doctor, had been plaguing her for a long period of time, just could not get rid of it. No matter what she did, what she tried, could not get rid of it. And she was praying and seeking God, and she put it just like this. She says, "Pastor Larry at the study on Wednesday told me to take authority of it and tell it to get out of here." She put it in those words. And she thought for a moment. She says, "Why not?" And she began to address it. She began to speak to it. And essentially she said, "In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this. Get out of my body." And she was healed, just like that. And she's been walking free from it now for a period of time with no relapse or nothing coming back on her. So you got to be careful. And I know that some would think that, well, you're getting into an area that might be a little off base from what we understand. But I just want to ask you to be sensitive to consider what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because I know the balance. And I know there's extremes. So sozo shalom. The word sozo is translated from, is a Greek word that is translated as salvation. Okay? You find it in Romans chapter 10. And the word shalom is translated into the word peace. And you'll find that in John chapter 14 and in Isaiah chapter 53. And in Isaiah 53, the word of God says that Jesus bore our sorrows and our infirmities, and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the word peace there is taken from the word shalom. And I've done a study onto it, and you can tie this word shalom in, which is a greeting, it's a Hebrew greeting, you can tie it in to the word, it's peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You can tie it to New Testament peace that Jesus spoke of in John 14. And in John 14, there Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And he, in the latter part of the chapter, he says, "My peace I leave with you. Not as the world lives, so leave I," or "give I." And the word peace there is taken again from, and is tied in its foundation to that word shalom. And the word shalom, like sozo, is very close, is defined as wholeness, health, healing, wholeness, health, healing, prosperity, preservation, all renewal of life like that of the young lions and the eagles. You can tie that to Psalm 103. The renewal of life, preservation of life, and all the promises of God. All the promises of God. And there's more, but that's the essential, that's the essence of what's in shalom. And the word salvation is the same way. And I've taught this, and one of the things that I've learned from my studies is that for a long, long time, I'm well established in salvation, in terms of salvation be the salvation of God that saves us from hell and sets us on the path to heaven and establishes our eternal stance and the security of our soul. But salvation includes so much more. And salvation includes the nature and the aspect of God on this doctrine that I'm referencing, the doctrine of healing. And even to the extent, when you look at Romans chapter 10, where Paul's writing and he gives the credentials for salvation, a candidate for salvation, and he goes into the what we call the process of the gospel. He says, "With the heart," and generally it's presented in a reference of in the correlation of reference to the us receiving the word of God that produces faith for salvation. That is salvation, as we right up front understand it, perceive it. But the process there goes beyond that in terms of salvation itself into all the promises and the doctrines of God. And he says that in referencing the gospel in context, that with the heart, our we believe in our heart unto righteousness and then confess with our mouth salvation. And I want you to think about this with me and just kind of give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to bear witness to what I'm saying and to help you to fully grasp it. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness as he hears the word of God. We hear that later on, Romans 10:17. For faith comes by hearing, hearing how by the word of God. But in this process, the heart believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so what happens is we begin to confess what we're choosing to believe and what's being established in a heart. And in a way, what takes place is we begin to profess what we're believing God, what we're believing God for, and how we're and how we're taking him at his word. And we begin to profess this with our mouth. And there's another element of correlation that comes in. In John, I reference, tie this to John 6:63. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And when you study that, the idea there is that they are life, but they produce life. And so when we begin to speak forth what we believe, we're used of God to literally pray and speak into existence what is the will of God. And so again, there's a lot to this. And I just want to slow down and just really give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to just expressly speak. So, and as I'm doing this, I want to encourage you, you know, if you're dealing with something in your life where you're believing God for a healing and perhaps it's a chronic disease, God may be giving you grace for it while he's healing you or while he's growing you in the knowledge that helps you to access his power to address that which you're believing God and asking God to deal with or heal you of. I believe I just heard a commentary on this yesterday, and that word sozo that's translated salvation is also translated as to the word heal or healing. And again, we generally speaking associate sozo, salvation, with the atonement, the vicarious atonement, the expiation for sin. But in the atonement, and in it, there's a correlation and a tie. You go back to Isaiah 53. You know, some have taken, and I for a long time was under the idea that Isaiah's prophecy was just dealing with quote unquote the atonement. But when I began to study the Hebrew and study it, and even in context, I began to realize in the issue of Jesus and his passion dealing with sin, he also dealt with the fruits of sin, and you can't disconnect sin from the fruits of sin and the effect on the human body. And when you look at Isaiah 53, and he says that surely he has borne our sorrows and our infirmities. Strong's Concordance says that both of these words can be correctly translated as our diseases and our pain. And then when you look at the word sorrows, or our infirmities, we think right away, general perception in English is infirmity in the sense of, you know, tied to infirmity, the effect of what's going on in the body in a negative sense, and illnesses, diseases, that type of thing. But the word infirmity there, and even jumping into Romans chapter 8, can be defined correctly in appropriation with the idea of the lack of knowledge, the lack of knowledge. And Hosea said that my people, and Isaiah also wrote it twice, Hosea 4:6, I believe it is, that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So we want to get a hold of the full counsel of God on the subject, and then to begin to appropriate in faith what God says, and to begin to believe God for what God is willing. And I believe the general desire of God is to heal us, no matter what it is, unless we specifically have heard from God and tested and proved, okay, that this is something that God has called us to fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus Christ with, and it is according to his will, and he would have us to suffer and learn how to receive grace for that suffering and to prevail in it and to glorify God in it. There's a balance. There's a balance, and I know the balance. But again, all too often, we just take it that this is the way it's going to be, and okay, I'm going to glorify God, when in fact, God would have to seek him to get to know what he says about it, to see what the word says about it, and believe him for the deliverance and the healing. 3 John 2 says that, my dearest beloved Gaius, John is writing, I wish above all things, and that word wish can also be correctly translated as pray. I pray, or I wish above all things, that you would prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. And there's an order there. To prosper and be in good health, how? As your soul, even as your soul prospers. So the first thing for us to experience prosperity, experience healing, is we need to know the Word of God so that our soul is prospering in the Word of God. And then the mind will be refreshed and renewed in what God's heart is and thoughts on it, on any given subject. And the Holy Spirit can go to work and produce the fruit that manifests itself in terms of its influence and effect and in its doctrine and its subject on the human body. And so we may have a disease that or a problem that God's not healing us right now. And in fact, you may have the experience that as you pray and believe God and get informed in the knowledge on the subject and the doctrine, things may get worse. Why? Because we have an enemy. And he's going to challenge the word and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And he doesn't want you to get a hold of what God says is his nature and what he wants to do. And you will be challenged and tested. And again, just going back to the whole idea of believing and speaking and the process, another key passage for consideration and application is found in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4:16 through 24. Talks about how Solomon is writing and he's referencing himself as a preacher. The scene in the Hebrew, and be real quick about it, is the temple where the word of God is being preached, or a synagogue. In our case, a church. The man of God is preaching and the word is going forth. And it says that we're to be careful to keep our eyes fixed, our ears attentive, and the heart receptive to the word. And it says that, it goes on to say, and here's the key emphasis of the point for the moment, that the words of God are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. And I've titled this series on Psalm 107, verse 20. They cried out to the Lord in their diseases and their destruction, their distresses, verse 20. And what did he do? He sent his word to heal them. He sent his word to heal them. And so I'm believing God just on a personal level. I'm believing, asking God for the restoration of my sight. And you know, in the last year, I went through a stage where it began to get worse. But right now, it's getting better. And I'm believing God for the day when I'm going to stand in this pulpit and read from the Word of God without any help, clearly. A year ago now, I couldn't see the clock. Tonight, I can see it. I can barely make out where it's at. So, Bob, help me out there if I'm overtime. Oh, all right, so I'm well overtime then. All right, so I'm going to shut it down. So I share these things just to kind of refresh much of what I've taught on in the series that I've been teaching on. But again, for you to really consider and believe God. Believe God at his word. Believe God at his nature. Don't take a position of passivity. The word of God says we're to humble ourselves under his mighty hand and that he may exalt us in due time. And then we're to do what? Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Because generally speaking, the things that come against us come from the devil, not from God. And they're attacks. They're physical attacks that are aimed to destroy us, to bring us down, to hinder us, to incapacitate our ability to serve God and to live and enjoy the abundance of life that Jesus has promised us. Again, back to shalom. You know, one of the definitions of shalom, salvation, include all the promises of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:8, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And so in the name of Jesus, pray and ask God and test and prove what God is willing and seek him. And seek, if you've got a chronic, especially if you have a chronic position or condition, seek God for healing on that. I've seen both. I've seen where people have died from their disease, and I've seen miracles. I've been used of God to lay hands on people and to pray and have miracles manifest, a complete deliverance. And another subject, and as I close, you know, even on that level, I taught a message here. And I have an aspect of doctrine that I learned fresh. God showed it to me, and I taught it. And it's going to sound weird in presenting it, but the idea is there are times when God is reluctant to heal. And there's reasons behind it. And part of the reasoning, the main thing for that, the answer to what I just stated, is because of the retaliatorial response of the enemy. You have to be covered. And under a covering and know the word. So again, just consider what I've shared tonight. Please don't just dismiss it, but prayerfully consider the word and the Holy Spirit, what he has to say, so that you understand the fullness of what God has for us. They cry out to the Lord in their distresses, their diseases, calamity. Psalm 107 is a full context on the title. But again, the emphasis, he sent his word to heal them. Amen? And amen. Father, I ask you to take these words, these thoughts tonight, and just, Father, expound upon them through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 26, 21. In our hearts, help each one as we leave here tonight to receive that which is theirs. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Okay. So I guess I went quite a bit over time. My apologies for that. I didn't realize, I just don't know what time it is. So.